The Supreme Court ruled on birthright citizenship today and on transgender athletes. But one case reaffirmed the Constitution, the other closed a door. Let's sort the winners and losers. The biggest news today is from the Supreme Court, where two major decisions landed. First, a 6-3 victory for the 14th Amendment. The court struck down President Trump's executive order trying to end birthright citizenship. That order, issued on day one of the administration, directly contradicted the citizenship clause. And the court said plainly, you cannot undo the Constitution with a pen. The challenge was called Trump versus Barbara, and the decision reaffirms a precedent from 1898. If you are born on U.S. soil, you are a citizen, period. That is a clean, clear win for the Constitution over executive power. But then came the other ruling. In West Virginia versus BPJ, the court held, 6-3, that states can exclude transgender girls from girls' school sports without violating Title IX. The majority said Title IX is reference to sex, means biological sex, and that this does not prevent states from banning trans athletes. Importantly, the ruling does not require all states to adopt bans, it just says they can. But it also shuts the door on using Title IX as a tool for protecting trans students in athletics. Justice Thomas wrote separately to argue that transgender status isn't a suspect class, a separate concurrence from his attack on press protections in another case that day. So, for advocates of trans rights, this is the end of a legal strategy. For supporters of the bans, it's a green light. Meanwhile, down in the trial courts, a federal judge ruled against Defense Secretary Hegseth's press credential policy, finding it likely violates the First Amendment. The judge sided with the New York Times in a challenge over the Pentagon's ability to revoke credentials from reporters whose coverage it doesn't like. The policy remains in effect while the administration appeals, but the ruling underscores the risk when you restrict the press that helps audit an $800 billion budget that has never passed a clean audit. And on that point, the heat is rising. Literally. The same heat wave hitting Europe is forecast for the eastern United States, yet the federal government still has no heat standard for workers. OSHA's proposed rule from 2024, requiring water, rest, and shade at a specific heat index, has not been finalized. The delay is political, not scientific, and it leaves millions of workers, black, brown, and low income, exposed to a hazard that has already killed at least 999 people on the job since 2011. The science is settled, the politics is not. Across the country in Oklahoma, the State Corporation Commission denied Enid's request to create a simple buffer zone around its only drinking water aquifer. The city said it would cost under $50,000 to process. The commission, whose members get campaign support from oil and gas, said no. Industry groups called the buffer a dangerous precedent. For 50,000 residents in Enid, the precedent is now. The state put industry profits ahead of clean water. And then there is the quiet constitutional battle that could reshape all of this. Project 2025's blueprint calls for overturning Humphrey's executor, the 1935 precedent that protects independent agency officials from at-will firing by the president. The Brennan Center and Protect Democracy warn this would let the president fire inspectors general, FTC members, and career officials at will. The administration has already mass-fired IGs. Overturning Humphrey's executor would retroactively make that legal. This is not a hypothetical. It is a plan being executed. Speaking of execution, two executive orders targeting mail voting met different fates this month. One, from March 2025, was permanently blocked by a federal judge who said it violates the Constitution's Elections Clause. Another, from March 2026, directing the USPS to cross-check voter lists, was partially blocked but not everywhere, creating a patchwork of enforcement. Meanwhile, the Save America Act, which would require documentary proof of citizenship to vote, passed the House, but officially failed in the Senate. It is dead as a standalone bill, though its provisions could return as budget riders. And finally, a correction from earlier coverage. It wasn't the Trump administration that sued PBS. PBS sued the administration after Executive Order 14290 called for defunding public media. PBS CEO Paula Kerger said it was the most sobering moment of her career, signing that lawsuit. By July 2025, Congress had rescinded $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, effectively dissolving it. That is Project 2025 in action. Starve the system, then reallocate the spectrum. All of this is unfolding against a constant watch. We have now read and logged 147 of Project 2025's blueprint actions and 1,058 distinct actions across the federal landscape are on the record and mapped. The work goes on, piece by piece. The goal is not to claim victory. It's to know what is actually happening and to be able to name it. In the next week, the administration will appeal the press credential ruling, and the Fifth Circuit is expected to weigh in on the mail voting executive order that remains in limbo in D.C. The House GOP remains paralyzed by the SAVE Act standoff, with Speaker Johnson's proposal to merge it with the defense bill still lacking enough conservative votes, and OFAC's 60-day waiver on Iranian oil, General License X, expires August 21st, with no verified IAEA commitment from Iran as of today. That's the news for June 30th, a day of clear wins for the Constitution, clear losses for trans rights, and a steady background drumbeat of executive power being pushed to its limit, and sometimes beyond. I'm Gus Calloway. We'll do it again tomorrow.